When we read the psalm and just follow on, and it says, the moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. So he's running through the whole Old Testament and the whole story of God. And each time he says, his love endures forever. And then he ends off by saying, he gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. And I greet you in the name of God, whose love endures forever. And you will see it and experience it through the Father, the Holy Spirit, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Indeed, His love endures forever. Amen. Let's stand and sing this very familiar hymn. And with two purposes. One is really because we need rain physically, but then again, in terms of our spiritual lives as well, showers of blessing that God will change our country, ourselves, and our society according to His will and His word. So let's stand and sing two verses. We will spend some time in the minor prophet with the name of Obadiah. I hope I pronounce it correctly, because that is news for me. Nee, is nie waar nie. Vandag gaan ek met jou stry. Obadiah. And I tested it. I went and I deep search Obadiah. Yes, I've got you. Go and Google it. Right, Obadiah. Interesting, very, very interesting. And I hope that we can learn something. And it is just some of this passages in the Bible that we ignore somehow, and doesn't. Well, how many of you do have a little mark in your Bible, in this minor prophet? Do you have one? Which verse is it? Oh, is it very short? It is only a few verses. There isn't the Obadiah one. It is just verses. It is one of the smallest and shortest Bible books that there is. And we are going to read this. We start off with Obadiah because, according to the Seba people. It is the oldest writing of the minor prophets. But before we do so, remember, it is so very long ago. It is approximately in the years 580 before Christ. So it's a long, long time ago. And somehow, the Word of God stays the same. The principles are the same. So what is this strange book going to tell us this morning? So to get the guidance and the wisdom from God, let's pray. Father God, we honor you this morning because you are good and your love endures forever. And this morning we come to you as your congregation, as your children. You lifted us up from the sand and the mud. You gave us a new life. And this morning we are so privileged to be here together and to learn, to grow. Yeah, to struggle with your word and to apply it in our lives and in society. Therefore, we pray for your guidance to help us to understand. Thank you for everyone here, and thank you for this blessing. And we pray this morning that your love that endures forever will just overflow in every single heart. In your name we pray. Amen. I wish I could leave a few verses when we are going to read it, because it's very technical, but hopefully when we explain it, it will make sense. Sometimes people ask, like we can say this morning, isn't it just appropriate just to read the law, the commandments of God, or just a shorter version thereof in the New Testament, to love God and to love your neighbor? When you read Obadiah, you will find exactly that in this letter, in this book. So, let's read. A vision from Obadiah. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. Okay, remember the word Edom. Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, "Rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like the eagle." It's interesting, the Afrikaans, if you can understand Afrikaans, it says asvol, not an eagle. It's just interesting to say. So, an eagle, "and make your nest among the stars. From there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If these thieves come to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how, Esau?" No, Edom, Esau, remember those names, "will be ransacked. His hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, those of understanding in the mountains of Esau. Your warriors, Timon, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof, while strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. That day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion is Jerusalem. It's a reflection where the temple of God was. So the Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and Jacob will possess his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire and Joseph a flame. Esau will be stubble, and they will set him on fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau. The Lord has spoken. And then the last few verses is just a geographical sort of explanation of the new places where the people of Israel will stay. So that is just what they do there. And the last sentence says, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Right? It is a very difficult passage. It is, it's not really. It is just, I think, very technical. But you will understand it, hopefully. What I like about the Obadiah and I think the other minor prophets is the fact that they are looking back to the past and looking forward into the future. That is what it does. And so you see the two directions when you read this book, and I will try to explain it to you. So the name Obadiah means something like the servant of Yahweh, or the worshipper of Yahweh. So this is what his name in Hebrew means. They don't know a lot about this man. Basically nothing. What we know is that there was a good chance that he was a colleague, maybe, of Jeremiah and Habakkuk. Because you can see some of the historical events and the things that they say, there are similarities. So that is what they say. You can read in Jeremiah 49, and you can see also the similarities between this message from God. But then let's say something about Edom. Edom. Who is Edom? So, and you will see, and this is something that we normally do not know, is that there's a, right through the Old Testament, you will read about Edom. The nation of Edom, the Edomites. So who were they? And this will take you back to Genesis. In Genesis 27, we will find the whole story about Isaac and his sons, Jacob and Esau. And you remember that story. That, I mean, you maybe that is part two of this short book, is just to go back and understand the whole story about Jacob and Esau, because Esau, he was the firstborn, he was the eldest son, and he was the one who should have received the covenant and the lineage of salvation of God. And he was betrayed by his brother. Do you remember that story? And that wonderful bucket of lentil soup. And I think the Bible says a stew. The English Bible says a stew. It's always, I see this, the differences between the menus in the two Bibles, Afrikaans and English. So what happened? And there was this hostility between the two brothers. They end up enemies from one another. They depart from one another. And so they established two nations that hated one another right through the Old Testament. And so what happened is that Jacob became Israel, and Esau becomes Edom. So Edom is the nation of Esau, the descendants of Esau. And they went down, and their country was where the south of Jordan, where Jordan now is, they were their country. Now, some people say, oh, so this is this fight now that we see between the Muslims, the Islam, and Christians. No. It's not. That story has another lineage. This is just a story that we will read and understand, but it's not about the Muslim-Islam conflict that we have now. So, Jacob's people, they stayed in Israel, and they created a new nation. That is where they remained and stayed. Okay. So you will see, when you go through the Bible, once when Israel in Numbers 20, was that Israel moved out of Egypt, and they asked Edom, can we move through your country? And Edom said, no. Stay away from us. So you'll read in the Old Testament the story of this nations that hates one another, and it comes from the two brothers that hated one another. So they refused to do so. So this judgment of Obadiah pronounced against Edom is something that says about God's view of these people, and it is an attitude that Edom had that we see in the world today as well. So even in that year, in 586 before Christ, so Israel was exiled into a foreign country. And what did Edom do at that stage? They, and then you can read, you remember that song of Boney M, by the rivers of Babylon. So that is why we've read this morning, Psalm 136. So the song of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, is Psalm 137. And there it says, remember, Lord, what the Edomites said. Oh! So remember, they were sent to in exile, and the Edomites mocked them on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. So you see what Edom did? Edom made fun and joked and bullied the people of God. That is what happened. In Jeremiah, you can read it. You can read it in Ezekiel. In Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote, rejoice and be glad, Edom, but you too will drink the cup of judgment. God will judge you. And this is what Obadiah is writing about. You can read in Ezekiel, you boasted against me and spoke against me without restraint. And God says, I heard it. I heard what you said to my people. So you will see then, we see something about a reflection in our relationship with God and with your brother, your brother, your neighbor. And this is what is also very permanent and sound in this chapter. So Ezekiel 35 says, what is the outcome? And then you will know that I am God. So God wants to know, his message to Edom is, I will judge you, I will condemn you, so that you will know who I am, because you reject me all the time. So the standard of a relationship with God is important, and the maintenance of the relationship with my brother and my sister is just as important. So where does the story start? With the two brothers. Two brothers that could not find peace. And this hatred developed into nations, and from generation to generation, it is people just hating one another. God says, well, we cannot do that. I will come back to that later on. So this is the highest priority, is your relationship with God and your relationship with your neighbor, your brother. That is it. And now, just want to come back to it. So what is the problem with Edom? Their arrogance, absolute arrogance, against God and against the people of God. And the other one is the indifference. So when they saw their brother struggle, they ignored it. They made fun of it. So that is what Jesus and what God is saying. Well, you know what? I promised salvation for my people, and you will be in trouble, Edom. So this is what happens in that first 16 verses. The problem with Edom was the problem with themselves, their own attitude against themselves, towards themselves. They've got the audacity, they've got pride, they've got arrogance against people, the brother, and against God. That was the problem. And he says in verse 3, the pride of your heart. That is where what I see in you, the pride of your heart. So that was it. Pride of your heart. And there were three things. You don't believe it, but it stands here. Three things that characterize these people, the Edomites. First is, they had a natural defense. It's where they live in Jordan. Even now, if you go and see that beautiful, beautiful places in Jordan, there's a picture. That's a typical thing of Jordan. People staying there in the rocks. Oh, what is God saying here? You who live in the cliffs of the rocks, you made your home on the heights. And what are you saying? Who can bring me down to the ground? You see the arrogance? We are safe. We are safe like an eagle, we think. Oh, okay, so now you can see the storyline, huh? So you are so arrogant, you think nothing can touch you there. That was the first problem with them, the arrogance. The second one was their wealth. So they stayed, the whole country was on that route between Syria and Egypt. So it was this economical, wonderful riches that went through their country. Business, good business. But that is why verse 6 says, Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. They will steal from you. You who think you've got every single thing. In Amos, the prophet Amos also speaks about Edom. And there he speaks about the beautiful houses. Yeah, you in your beautiful houses. A third thing that comes through this message is their wisdom. They thought they had all the wisdom. You can read there in verse 8, the wise men of Edom. And they were very famous for their wisdom in history. Very, very famous. But there's one single thing that scholars found out about Edom. It is one of the, if it's not the only one, but it is one of the only nations in the world that they can find no single record of any reference to any god. No, they were godless people. No writing, no references, no allegiance, no dependence of any god. In a certain sense, they were the first secular nation ever. Society. Godless society. No trace of any god in their history. Isn't that horrific? Huh? No? What is that? Okay, that's terrible. And this is it. So the wise men of Edom, it says, they cannot stand against God. You can be clever and wise as you want to be. You cannot stand against the wisdom of God. And this is where this whole story finds its foundations. And God says, I will make you small and insignificant again. Because you think you are so bright. And this is the story. So God will punish you. Verse 7. And your own friends will deceive you. Verse 7. Your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive you and overpower you. The people that you rely on, they will be gone. The moment then God will act. And what is God's problem? Verse 10. Your brother. What have you done to your brother? Your brother. He says, and then there's a lot, and while Afrikaans is different, I think Afrikaans, there are 8 times that he says, you should not. You should not. You should not laugh at your brother. You should not joke about your brother. You should not gloat over your brother. You should not march through the gates to your brother and destroy him. You should not wait at the crossroads. And when the Israelites flee out of Jerusalem, they destroy Jerusalem, and on their way to exile, the Edomites killed some of their brothers. God says, you should not. I've got a problem with the way you handle your brother. You should not speak arrogantly in a certain sense. I think that is what it says. So this becomes a century-long conflict between these two nations. And in Deuteronomy 23, God speaks about the Edomites and says, yeah, I know. You don't like one another. But he is your relative. Take care. He is your relative. Relatives cannot behave like this. Make peace with your brother. Well, that is what didn't happen through the Old Testament. And this is the story. You should not have gloated. And you should not have spoken arrogantly. And you should have not rejoiced in the pain of others, your brother. You should not have killed them. You should not have laughed at them. You should not have made fun about them. You shouldn't have boycotted them when they asked you to go through your country. You should not have looted Judah's and Israel's possessions. This is it. So the exile, God sent them, Israel, into exile. So what does Edom do? They make fun about it. They exploit the whole system. And then he says, it's interesting in verse 15, because in verse 15 there's a change. But he says, as you have done, it will be done to you. Interesting. It's exactly the opposite that Jesus teaches us. In Luke 6, he says, do not do unto others what you don't want to do, they not do to you. Here is the exact opposite. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. So this is what is the story. And this turning point is in verse 15. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. So when you read this Old Testament and you read about Edom, you see the pride, you see the arrogance, you see the people rejecting God. But there's one day, the day of the Lord. You will read it everywhere in the prophets. The day of the Lord is near to not just Edom, all the nations. All the nations. You can read in your own Bible. It says all nations. And Obadiah sees a connection here. And we need to understand this as well. And I want to show you something very interesting. There's a connection in Hebrew language between Edom and Adam. There is Edom. You can see how it is being spelled. Aleph, Dalet, Vav, Mem. Adam has only that one letter missing. It's the same root. Edom and Adam. Edom and Adam. Edom and Adam. It's interesting. So it says Edom, because Adam means many things. Adam means Adam, the person Adam. Adam is also a place, Adam. Adam is also the word for humanity. the people of the earth. Adam. Adama is the ground. So Adam was created out of the ground. So some people say no. So Adam means red, because the ground was red, as if it was in the Kalahari. I don't know. But dam in Greek, in Hebrew, is blood. So blood is red. So somewhere there's this connection. But Edom, it's very interesting about Edom as well. Because Edom is also connected with redness. Edom stayed in the red mountains. But Edom, the word for that bucket of red lentils, in Afrikaans is lentils. It was red. The stew was red. He says, he comes to his brother. He says, listen, I'm hungry. Give me Edom. Give me that red. It says, you can go and read it. Give me that red stuff. You see how red it is here. But it's not ready, it's just red. So it says in Genesis, he comes and he says, well, that redness of the earth, the red stew, give me something about it. So humanity, Adam, is formed from Adama, which is the earth. And we are going back to the earth, it says. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So in Genesis chapter 25, verse 30, you can go and read. So Esau, his name is Esau, and Edom is his nation. He says, give me some of that red stuff, and I will give my firstborn right, my birthright to you. I sell my birthright to you. I give my connection with God to you for that red stuff. What is that stuff called? Edom. So he said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. This is why he was called Edom, it says in chapter 25 of Genesis. So stuff, that red stuff, is Edom. Edom. It's at the same root. You see, somehow there's this connection in the Bible between these two things. So what is this Edom? It is an impulsive desire, a fleshly appetite that stands in your way. It estranges you from your birthright, your connection with God. That is the problem with Edom. I give my right to be God's child away. I reject God in that problem, in that moment. Adam is an example of humanity's divine calling to cultivate, to name, to be stewards of the creation. It's people that cares. Edom doesn't care about God and about God's, what God asks us to do in this world. So Edom is in the shadow of Adam, rejecting God and God's will. So what is it? It is all about the pride and arrogant people. Is it relevant today? Pride? The arrogance? The rejection of God? It's relevant. People with all their fleshly desires, that's what it is. The rejection of God. And the people that bully and hurt and destroy the church and the people of God. So throughout this whole Bible, Edom represents the hostility against God, against God's people. And God says, well, in Obadiah, he says it in Isaiah 34 as well. You know, these nations, these people will be judged because of their injustice, because of their arrogance. And then there's a question. I mean, for us, what is our calling? Is our calling not to look after God's earth, to the creation, care for one another, a hunger for what is right, what is good? This is what we hunger for.
Or are we living for the Edom, the moment, the immediate, and the rejection in that moment of God? To his own people, from verse 70 to 21, he says, "But I will bring deliverance. The Lord promises Jerusalem a new Jerusalem." Isn't that something that we read in the new Jerusalem again? A new nation, a new relationship with God. He promises that Edom will be destroyed. He promises that the former glory of Israel will be restored. And we can say a lot of that. But point is, in Jesus Christ, all the nations came together. And he brings all of us in unification with one another, so that everyone in the world can declare Jesus is the Lord. Because that is the end of it all. God promises a new kingship, a new kingdom. And when Jesus came, he said, in the kingdom of God, it works like this. This is the new kingdom. But there's one single thing that destroys this kingdom. It's our arrogance, our rejection of God, and our self, what is that? The all about myself and I. So Obadiah will say, let's listen very carefully. What happened to Edom? In history, what happened to them? Can you tell me where Edom now is? The Edomites? Gone. They doesn't exist anymore. It's a nation that vanished from the earth. No reference, nothing at all. Gone. There is some lines. They were never called the Edomites ever again. But for example, Alexander the Great, in the New Testament, he was part Herod. He was out of that lineage. He was the one that restored a lot of things in Israel. The temple wall where you see the Jews, that was the second temple before it was destroyed, where you see the Jews standing there praying. That was built by Herod the Great, out of the lineage of the Edomites. But that is a different story. Point is just, he tried to restore something. He tried to build something that was so false, because the real kingdom was again Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who came, and this is what Obadiah wants to tell us this morning. Edom's pride and betrayal serve as a reminder of our connection with God and connection with my brother. Restore your relationship with God and with your brother. If there's trouble with you and your brother or your sister, go back, rectify, forgive, and listen carefully. It's not just you and your brother. It's what is going to happen after that as well. It becomes a story of rejection, a story of pain, a lineage of hatred. But you can change it today. It's the same thing in this world today, where people reject God and the will of God and the will of God. It's reconnect, recalculate. Well, we've said it and mentioned it many times about the cost of discipleship. Is go and calculate the cost. I want a relationship with God, and I choose today not my own desires, but what His will for me is. Obadiah is about God who punishes arrogance and indifference. Indifference. And we can make today a choice to say, I want to make a difference and choose the right path between my brother and sister and God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence, your word. And when we read this, it's really complex. It's difficult. It's difficult to comprehend all these words and to look back years and years and years in the past to Genesis, and to look forward till the day that you will come again, and somehow this all fits into your big plan and your message to us. But Father, even though it's so difficult, we know and we hear this very clearly. To live in a relationship with the mighty God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, to go to my brother, my sister, and to live in peace and to forgive. Because the payoff is so huge. So help us, Father, not to laugh at my brother, not to brag about my own things, not to boast my own safety, but Father, to be humble and in a deep relationship with you. This morning we pray for every member of our congregation. We pray for the little ones this morning, especially for Diane and Lune, who are really sick and they are still little small children. We pray this as well for Avi and her operation she had. We pray for Johan Esbach, and Jimmy Hillows and his wife and the children and all struggling around a bit. We pray for Ronnie and so many others, Father, that went through procedures and operations, and that you will just heal them, help him with the restoration of this whole process. We pray for our country. Yes, Father, there are so many bad and sad things happening when we just think about all the corruption and the hurt that people do around them. Ach, we pray that you will just open our eyes and so that we can care for our brother and sister. We pray that you will bless us this day as well, this week. And we need you. We need your peace in this world. Because we see the arrogance, the indifference all over the world. Basically, in every war, in every conflict there is, we see something of this conflict. We pray for your peace and your kingdom to come. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We are so privileged, so let's offer back to God. Really privileged. In terms of the economic things going on in our country, we are so privileged that we can give an offering to God, but we want to pray for this as well. Because it's not just an offering. It is something that adds value in our ministries, in society, and we need to pray for that. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You know we need every single cent to make a difference. And therefore we thank you for everyone that can give. And we pray that this money will go into our ministries in every single aspect thereof. And we pray that it will be a blessing, not just to us and the maintenance of what we do, but to explore and to explode in terms of what is necessary in loving you and loving our brother. Please help us and give us the wisdom, the godly wisdom, to do the right thing with what we have received. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Bruce. So let's sing Near to My God. It is hymn 88. We will sing two verses, verse 1 and 4. And near the to God means nearer to Him and to the people around me and the people not so close to me, the closest ones and the furthest ones. But let's stand and sing verse 1 and 4. Thank you. bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.